Greetings, you beautiful human, and all the humans at sea. This is Glenn Klein Online. It is Hump Day, Wednesday, February 13th, 2008. The only February 13th, 2008, and the only second night of the winter pledge drive for the Gospel Revolution. Welcome in on this Wednesday, Glenn Klein Online. Going to be appealing to you for the next 90 minutes to support the Gospel Revolution. And speaking of which, online as always from beautiful Houston, Texas, is the president of the Gospel Revolution, Michael L. Williams. Michael!
Hey, Glenn.
How are you?
Here we are, right in the middle of the pledge drive, and beautiful weather here in Houston. I just think that all of our listeners up in all those cold climates should just come down to Houston for a weekend.
Well, let's do that in November, shall we?
Yeah, you know, that's a good time.
We're going to do that as a Gospel Revolution convention, ladies and gentlemen, November 5th through the rest of that weekend. November 5th is a Wednesday with special guest leadoff speaker, Carlton Pearson.
And Carlton will be with us.
We've been alluding to this for a while, and information will be coming your way. But circle on your calendar now, November 5th, 2008. It's going to be the Gospel Revolution Convention. And everybody, whether you live north, south, east, or west of Houston, will be, of course, invited and hopefully attending. But I was thinking of you quite a bit last night, Michael, because I had done a speaking engagement in Nashville, and I was there Monday and Tuesday, and Tuesday I was supposed to fly out back to Tampa at 6 o'clock, and the flight was delayed till 7:15, and then it went to 8:15 and 8:40, but right under, all the flights were delayed, and right under it was a flight to Houston.
Back to Houston.
So you're singing tonight.
Houston.
And that flight got canceled, and I thought I was going to have the same fate, but as fate would have it, I did make it back at 3 o'clock this morning, and was very happy to not have spent another night in Nashville, Tennessee.
You don't like Nashville?
I love Nashville, but I love my bed more.
There you go. It's better than sleeping in the airport, isn't it?
I wasn't going to do that no matter what. And my ticket agent at Southwest Airlines was Elvis, or he was an Elvis impersonator. But he was.
How about that?
You
can't get any better service.
It was awesome. It was awesome to be serviced by Elvis. If you catch my drift.
There you go.
He said, "Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much
for flying Southwest." So enough of this frivolity, ladies and gentlemen. We are here for a higher purpose. That's to lift the name of Jesus above all names, knowing that no matter what you believe, no matter if you drink, smoke, or chew, or hang around with girls that do, as far as God is concerned, you're good to go. And that's what we do. That's what we do with our lives in general, but specifically on Wednesday nights, the webcast comes your way. And this is our time during this quarter. Once a quarter, we take some time to ask you for your support. And that's what we're doing tonight. We have a 21-day goal of raising $12,500 for our operating budget for the next 3 months. And I know that doesn't sound like a lot of money, but it's a heck of a lot more money than nothing, and certainly, Michael, a lot more than when we started these things a little over a year ago.
It's been really amazing, Glenn. And, I went all of those years totally not even mentioning money. I would go to places doing my own meetings, and I would totally forget to even take up an offering.
Yeah, I was at some of those meetings, very aggravated at that point. I was like, what the hell are you doing or not doing?
I know. Everybody was more concerned for me than I was for myself. Of course, the concern set in after it was all over with, but you know, when I'm up sharing the gospel, the last thing in the world I'm thinking about is that I could be starving the next day. I mean, you can't think about
right because you feel pretty good when you're sharing the gospel. When
pretty good, you know. Even if I was starving, I think I would feel pretty good. And getting the opportunity to share the most profound news I've ever known in my 55 years of living on this planet, and I just feel very grateful, very, very grateful to even have an inkling of an understanding of the work of the cross, the profound impact that it has on the soul, the mind, and the heart, and the true cleansing power of the blood for the conscience. Those verses in Hebrews just are very profound, that the blood of Jesus is able to purge our conscience from dead works. Think about that, Glenn. Think about that. The blood of Jesus is able to purge our conscience from what the church has done to us.
Yeah, it's not just the church. It was certainly perfected by the church, but the whole concept of being condemned by the law goes back to the time that the law was given.
Oh, absolutely.
And the separation from God, or that sense of being separate from the Creator, goes back, as far as what the Bible says, to Adam and Eve.
Absolutely. Of course, it's been the evangelical church that is in our lifetime who has perpetuated and continued a false doctrine. You know, let's call it what it is. Paul said, if you add one law, if you add one single law, even if it's about something as benign as circumcision for babies,
I don't think Timothy thought it was so benign, that circumcision.
I said for babies, okay? That's the reason I said that.
I'm not, any comments
that you might have.
It didn't work.
It didn't work at all, and somehow I knew it would fail in its attempt.
Well, folks, as you can tell, on the pledge drives, not only is the gospel still very much shared, but we also have a lot of fun. And we're going to be continuing in this vein, but we need your cooperation and your participation tonight more than ever. The number to call is 1-800-436-3260, 1-800-436-3260. We'll put you in touch with Patrick Jones. You can call us. You can make your comments and questions. We'd love to hear them, and hopefully your donation and your pledge. Of that $12.5, we split that into half, $62.50 in one-time gifts, and $62.50 in either monthly, first-time monthly giving, that would be annual monthly giving, or people who want to increase what they are already doing on a monthly basis. You can also email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com and tell us exactly what you're going to do. But if you can, go to the website at gospelrevolution.com and click on donations, and then make your donation there. And then just email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. Tell us what you did so we can include it towards the goal. And we have a goal tonight of 41.66. That's each week. We've divided the 12,500 into three, so we have three goals of $4,166. And last week we raised $1,150. So no, $1,550. Excuse me.
Yes.
So obviously pretty significantly short, frankly. And so we really need to get off to a good start. Who's going to be the first to call tonight at 1-800-436-3260? 1-800-436-3260. If you're listening live, please call. We'd love to hear from you. And it always seems like it takes somebody to start the ball rolling and get the momentum going. And then things have a way of turning out very well. So we need you to be the first one. 1-800-436-3260. If you're listening on the archive, obviously the phone isn't available to you, but the email is always available to you. And we're asking you to help us out tonight. And just let us know what you did at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. For gifts of $100 or more in total, you will receive free and postage paid, the brand new teaching CD from Michael, Soul Possession is the name of the teaching. And we talked last week, Michael, it's nice to know who should be possessing one's soul and who doesn't possess one's soul.
Yes. Yes, it is good news. And I was going to ask you, did you get the contribution that we had to come in about 5 o'clock this evening?
I did indeed. And let's acknowledge that person right now. I will bring that up on
the Yes, absolutely.
LPC, which we appreciated very much. And we had a $100 gift from Linda Bork. $100 from Linda And
yay, Linda.
So Linda qualifies for that free teaching CD. So we're going to count that towards last week's goal. So we're at 1650 for last week. So we need
there
to
you go.
We need to get tonight started off with a bang. So call us up 1-800-436-3260, 1-800-436-3260. And before we start getting calls, this is a good way to dive into this whole issue. Although there's the phone ringing right now, so I'm going to go to a different topic because this is
who is on the phone.
This is going to take a moment to deal with, and I don't want to keep the caller waiting. We have three lines available, ladies and gentlemen, due to your generosity. So there's another line available at 1-800-436-3260, 1-800-436-3260. So if you can hold on for 1 second.
It's like I can hear the buzz of people wanting to call in,
yes,
Glenn.
Indeed. And this is a call that we were expecting, and we're glad to hear tonight from California. And Mr. Mike Matzy. Mike!
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
Good to hear from you.
You're lucky you're hearing from me after what happened this afternoon.
What happened this afternoon, Mike?
Oh, my God. It was one of those. If I was still an evangelical, charismatic, word of faith person, I'd have said, boy, the devil just tried to keep me off of this thing tonight.
Well, what happened? Don't keep us in suspense.
Just human stuff, you know, the wife and the husband and the kids and the stuff, you know, just stuff.
It's called life. Michael Williams
exactly.
has a very very profound theological theory behind it. He calls it life.
Yeah, yeah. And then, you know, you know, the thought crossed my mind from always, why, this can't, you know, I can't, you can't go on there after all this. But I thought, yeah, please. You know, thank God I'm delivered from all that stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so, anyway, yeah, thank you, Michael, for all your influence in that area. How to live in the real world should be the theme of your television program when you finally go on the air. You know,
well, we will remember that whenever we get there, that's for sure.
The seven keys to living in the real world. But anyway, yeah, Michael and I have been talking quite a bit, and we've had some good conversations. So I want to get in the mix with the monthly. So our little family here, we're gonna start out with $125 a month.
Oh my, Michael, thank you.
On a regular basis. And then I was thinking earlier, you know, when I was younger, baseball was always my game, and I was a very, very good hitter. I could pretty much hit anything from anybody. And I hit quite a few home runs, and that was my big thing, you know. And I used to love to hit a grand slam once in a while, you know. So whenever the grand slams come in, we'll just slam some your way, too. So, and I'm expecting some, so.
Well, that's greatly appreciated, Mike. That obviously is a great way to start out for a large monthly gift. But folks, know that your gifts, large or small, all go to the same cause, all go to the same purpose. And but this donation and pledge by Mike Matzy tonight literally gets us right away to $1,500 for this week. So we're off to a very, very good start. Thank you very much, Mike.
Yeah,
we had talked to you earlier, and you know you have articulated on this program some financial challenges that you guys are going through, and but you had a change of heart about
Mike and I had you know we had like I said several conversations the past week or so, and because I had some other things you know that I was looking at I was trying to get through, and of course Michael was very helpful. And you know, it all boiled down to following your heart, you know, and when you're not or you're unable to, it's not a good place to be. It's very uncomfortable, you know, all the way around, spirit, soul, and body. So we were talking about, you know, giving, you know, and I've always, you know, when I had my business, I did real well, and I was always able to give a lot, you know, and, you know, we just loved doing that. And then I got to a place, and, you know, he and I were kind of both reached the same conclusion that we both at one point got to a place where we just stopped, you know, and I remember several months ago he and I talked about it, you know, and he brought up, it was kind of funny because he said, you know, you just get constipated with your giving. You get blocked up. And if you stop that, you know, I mean, and part of that had to do with the teaching that I had about, you know, you give and you shall receive. And it was presented wrong and it was legalistic and it was like you were obligating God. And, you know, and I was around so many people that believed that way and lived that way. And they were tithers and they were convinced that they were blessed because they were being obedient to God and so on and so forth. And that's only partially true. I mean, it's true because that's the way God made things to work. There is a flow and there's a river that you can jump into, and it's the, I'm going to call it the river of giving, that you can jump into with giving, whether you feel like you have enough, like, or not. Because at this point with me, I thought, well, you know, you can't give what you don't have, but I also know that I've got built in me a pretty resourceful spirit. So I find the money, you know. I mean, I've got ideas and the things, you know, will begin to happen. I was so long out of the flow, and I was telling Michael what happened with me was that I would get a big chunk and I would give a big chunk, and then nothing would happen. And then I would get like a slug and I would give the slug, but there was no regularity. There was no flow. It wasn't a river, it was like, you know, like a Dead Sea, you know, where it would come a little bit and, you know, spill over a little bit and it just wouldn't bust open, you know. So, I mean, the Word of God is full of, you know, the generous soul will be made fat. Jesus said, give, it'll be given unto you. But it's, and Michael will, I'm sure, he's got a lot of understanding on this. He'll take this and explain it a little more fully than I can, you know, as far
as... you're doing great, Michael.
The approach is not legalistic. It's, you know, giving out of your heart and just allowing the Spirit of God to do what he... Because there's no way that he wants me flopping around. Like, there can't be. It cannot be his will. So I'm back in the flow, you know, and it's a good thing. So that's why... And that's where I am, and I think, you know, and Michael needs to share his, you know, what's happened with him in the last several months so that people can understand, you know, where he came from and where he is now, because I understand he's beginning to get his little socks blessed off too. So, you know, and I'm just looking forward to getting back in the flow and getting away from all this aggravation, because it's very irritating when your heart isn't in that place where it should be, you know, where you know that you know.
This kind of, Michael, this kind of ties into your teaching on soul possession, doesn't it? Because
absolutely, because
what we're talking about is really not affect how we're viewed or interrelated with by God, because that was paid for already. This has got nothing to do with our giving. Because God gave the ultimate gift to us. That's what sets the stage for everything. But this really does play into how does one possess one's soul, doesn't it?
It really does. And Michael, you've done a great job of describing what was in your heart. And you know, in our conversations, all I really wanted to do is help Michael find his own heart. And the one thing that my conscience has been purged of is dead works concerning giving. So it gives me the freedom, and there is nobody on this planet that can address me in any way, no matter what it is, that trying to get people's money is my goal. My goal has always been, even when it was in the Word of Faith days, even though it brought in a lot of money, that was never, ever, never the goal. And we rode this thing to the bottom, and telling people that Jesus was the fulfillment of the tithe, and if their lack of commitment to a rule means my suffering, I absolutely am not going to retract the truth of who Jesus is for my own preservation. And to me, that's what the teaching of required giving is. It is self-preservation. And it's totally contrary to all of the concepts of giving. And we do not know the wealth that God has based on what he has. We know the wealth of God based on what he gives. And I'm telling you, there's something snapped in me finally several months ago. And the thing that I purposed in my heart, that I was not going to define my wealth by what comes in, I'm going to define my wealth by what is going out, by what I give. The wealth of God himself is not defined by what he possesses. And that's, God doesn't need self-preservation. I mean, he is God. But we are created in his image. And that's what Michael got a hold of. And when he saw in his own heart that giving is what he wants to do, and that he had left that off, like many people, like many of our listeners, I did the same thing. I left it off because I refused to be caught in the web, into the web of legalism and requirement living. I will not do requirement living for God ever again. It will not happen in my lifetime because the bondage of it is just so profound, and that includes giving, requirement giving. When it says pay, I'll give all that my heart is there to give. I may give 10%, but I ain't going to pay nothing. It just isn't going to happen.
What other things, Michael, would be categorized under required living besides the tithe?
Doesn't make any difference what it is. The required living for morality, required living for prayer life. You've got to pray, certainly the Bible study of prayer.
For those who follow the news, especially sports news, I was interested today. Roger Clemens, the all-star pitcher of the New York Yankees, was testifying before a House subcommittee today about his steroid use, or his alleged steroid use. And his teammate, Andy Pettit, who is a alleged Christian, he says he is, but he's a very good friend of Clemens. And Andy Pettit admitted to using human growth hormone and steroids. But he didn't admit to it all until he was called before this House panel. And he said he did more. And this is what he said, Michael. He said, "One day I'm going to have to answer to God for my actions." What would you tell Andy Pettit of the New York Yankees if he said to you, "Michael, I know I've got to tell the truth now, not because it's the right thing to do per se, but because I know that there's a judgment day coming," and a direct quote from Andy Pettit of the New York Yankees, "One day I am going to have to answer to God."
Well, I would, with what I know about legalism, I'd say Andy still isn't telling the truth.
I agree.
I just don't think that the truth comes out of threat of standing before judgment. I have never seen truth come out of that. There's enough to appease your conscience comes out of it, enough to impede somebody else comes out of it. It's just as such.
One thing's for sure: if Pettit was telling the truth about how many times he actually did it, he thought about cheating more than the times he actually did. So according to Jesus' interpretation of the law, he was guilty of all those things too.
Well, and he still is. I mean, even with trying to purge his conscience before Congress, Congress is not what purges your conscience. It is only the blood of Jesus. It's only the blood of Jesus that can purge one's conscience.
Make those kind of remarks to try to get human people, the people on earth, to take them off the hook.
Yes.
Because
yeah, kind of like
they
kinda
go,
like,
"Oh well, you know, oh well, gee, he's got to answer to God. Who am I?"
Right. When Michael Vick got caught with the dog fighting ring, and like 3 days later he came out and he said, you know, I have accepted Jesus because I think that's something I should do now. That's what he said. He literally said that.
Yeah.
Boy, we can get very spiritual when we're in trouble. And you know, and the thing of it is that evangelical Christianity makes no bones about it. I mean, Michael knows this too, that they've made it very clear that they're there to take advantage when people are in trouble. I never will forget, as I just began to learn about God's grace, there was this has been many years ago, there was some kind of huge earthquake or something in India, and it was just a catastrophic thing. And I was listening to the radio, and there was a interview with a Christian group, and they said, now is the perfect time to take advantage of this situation. And it sent a shock through my body, because the reality that they actually said what they do, and that is take advantage and go over there into India where this massive earthquake had taken place and try to tell people that, number one, if they were true believers, these things wouldn't happen. And that there was an answer to stop earthquakes, and, you know, this is because of your religion, the religion you have of, you know, thinking that your cows or your grandma is the reason all this disaster took place. But they made no bones about it. They said they were going there to take advantage of the situation. And you know what? I don't think that there is any truth that takes advantage. It just doesn't do it, including the issue of giving doesn't take advantage. And now, coming to the conclusions that we have come to has set our hearts free. Now, let me tell you what this did for Michael also today, and I want Michael to affirm what I'm talking about. After we talked...
Or else, Mike.
No.
Yes.
No, this is real stuff.
No, I'm just a little levity. That's all.
I know you're from. Were you from Wisconsin? Are you from Chicago?
I'm from Chicago.
I'm from Wisconsin. No wonder.
I'm from Wisconsin.
Someplace cold. We know that.
I'm going
sure.
there Friday.
Oh,
all right. So what did you say, Michael?
Anyway, I was telling Michael. I said, you know, this is not, you know, from my heart to Michael's heart. This was not something to convince him to give to the ministry. I said, you need to acknowledge what you are and what is your heart to do and do it. It doesn't make any difference whether it's Mike Williams ministry or where. But the one thing that Michael told me, and I was so excited because he told me, he said, you know, we always supported St. Jude Hospital for Children. And he said, after my wife and I talked about it, we decided that we were giving this portion to Mike Williams Ministry because we believe in what you're doing. We're giving a portion to St. Jude's Hospital and to something else that I don't think that he... To feed the children. Now, let me tell you something, folks. To me, that is total success. It's not. He didn't give all the funds to us. But my goodness, look what he is doing that it was in his heart already. I didn't talk Mike into doing something. If I was there to talk him into doing something, I would have talked him into giving it all to me and to Mike Williams Ministry. But my goal in his life was Mike's heart. And I knew from experience that Michael is a giver and that he just simply needed to follow his heart.
Right, and see, when you look at it, and I don't mean to interrupt you, but I think it's important, at least for me, so if anybody else gets anything, looking at that, at the way you just explained it, I would look at that and I would say, boy, I really would like to give to them, and I bet I would think then what would stop me was, here where my heart would go, I want to give. My head would say, yeah, but you can't because you're in the hole.
Yeah.
Right? And then my body would just go, I'm hungry. I want to
do.
Yeah, my body doesn't come. I'm just splitting the three, and then and then now, see, like what he said. You know, it was so important. You know, I think we've started this conversation or this little journey here this last Saturday, of, you know, exposing your heart, just going to where your heart is. And now I see so much more clearly. It isn't a matter of whether you think you have the capacity or not. When you have a desire like that, just do it.
And go with your heart's capacity.
Exactly.
Yes.
It's there. There's a way. It's mm-hmm. there. It'll work out. And I was there at one point, you know, years ago, but in a different place. There was a flow there, but it was, my understanding was nil. And now it's just so much. It's so much better.
I absolutely believe, Michael, as we talked, that the very same place that giving comes from, and that's the reason we encourage people, only give from your heart. Don't give because of our need. Don't be give because of requirement. We want people to give from their heart, because in your heart also lies immense amounts of creativity. All of the gifts that God himself has given you, that's where they are, is in your heart. And wisdom comes from the heart. It's not just a knowledge thing. And the thing that giving has translated into me for is strictly the river by which the means of the wisdom that is stored up inside of me. I don't want to go into, you know, and this, I tell you, this comes from John and this issue of self-preservation, that once you go into self-preservation, you have cut yourself off from all the good things that might be in your heart. You cannot go into self-preservation. It is not a beneficial thing for anyone.
Well, when you think about it, that's what religion is.
It is self-preservation.
You get sucked into it to preserve yourself, ultimately, according to evangelicalism, from a eternal, tormenting, burning hell.
Absolutely. It cascades into everything that we do to where that it strangles the life out of us, to where that even the people who are feeding the poor, even the people who are giving to St. Jude's and supporting ministries, they're miserable.
And they're wondering
where the will of God is and where the plan of God is and where life is.
You are articulating, Michael, exactly what came out recently in a, I believe it was Time magazine, about Mother Teresa's letters about how during the course of her life many times she had lost her faith.
Yes.
And she must have been pretty miserable with all the good works that she was doing.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah, and I can identify with the self-preservation thing, because now when I look at it, that's really good, because, like I said, when my heart would want to give, my mind and my circumstances, which would more be a better definition of self, you know, it depends on what self you're talking about. So that self was saying, oh, no, you can't do that, because then you won't have enough money to pay your bills, or you won't have enough money to do this. You can't do that because of this. So it was the self, but it was preserving the wrong self.
Yes,
absolutely. If it was really self-preservation, I would have given, if it would have been the heart, because that's what preserves the flow.
That's a great point. That's the great irony, is that if you want to, the most selfish thing, if you will, that a person can do is be more selfless.
Mm-hmm.
That's the irony. Mm-hmm.
This is the ironic thing also, guys, though, is that giving because you're going to get something is the most selfish thing you can possibly do. And see, Mike isn't doing this because he thinks that God is now going to turn around and straighten out all of his situations. Mm-hmm. He's doing this because it's his identity.
Right.
It's who he is.
Right.
And he doesn't want to lose himself again. And he knows that in himself is where that creativity is. That's where the wisdom is. That's where the understanding. That's where the gifts that he has, they're in him. They're in that same place where the decision is made to proactively get involved in giving. And I can say that without hesitation, because, as I said, I don't care if they line up from here around the planet to accuse me. I know I have proven my heart in this area. That's not the issue. I know, and then I started experiencing, as Mike said, being challenged here just by the interactivity with the people here. And I realized, you know, I do want to be, I am a giver. So, but I was always measuring what my wealth was based on what I had coming in. And I'm telling you, I don't know what actually happened, but I know that mindset changed. And I don't know that I could explain it to anybody. I've tried to explain it even in one of our sessions here, to measure out my wealth and declare my wealth based on my goals for giving. Now, you can't start out giving something that you don't have. We're talking about giving what you do have. We're not talking about people going into some bondage of any kind. We're not making any reference to that whatsoever. But the whole issue of me, for me, this is for me personally, and I've seen it inspire people's hearts because it's tapping into what they really are. If you don't want to give, please, for God's sake, don't give. We're only talking to people who want to give, and to give them the courage to step out into that and to understand, to be able to walk someplace, you have to understand where you're walking. And for giving to be what giving is, you really need to understand what you're walking in. And you're simply stepping out into your true nature. You have the nature of God. I have the nature of God. Once I committed myself again to giving, instead of waiting for wealth to come in, I'm not trying to tell you that I turned the magic key. I would never do that, but I can tell you that something happened.
Right.
But it happened in all levels, where wisdom, understanding, creativity, all of these things began to be affected by the fact that I found my own soul again. I possessed my own soul.
That'd be a good name for a teaching CD.
Soul Possession. How about that?
Yeah, we just happen to be giving away, ladies and gentlemen, free and postage paid. This is the commercial right now. For a $100 or more gift on a monthly basis or a one-time gift, totaling $100. So if you gave 10 bucks a month, that would get you the Soul Possession CD. Just email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. Let us know what you want to do, and then go to the gospelrevolution.com webpage and click on donations, and then just go through the process there. And or call us at 1-800-436-3260 if you're listening live. It's about 20 minutes until 10 o'clock Eastern time on the 13th of February. And we actually do have another caller on the line.
Well, wait, I've got one more thing.
Go ahead. No, go ahead, Mike.
This is very important. This is something that everybody can use now, and this has to do with these days of holy day or whatever days of obligation we have. Like, for example, Valentine's Day.
Yeah. I wanted to do a whole thing on Valentine's Day today.
I was doing something, and one of my kids was watching Dr. Phil, and they had this couple on there, and they were beating the crap out of this one guy for not being romantic enough, and they were trying to help him to be more romantic. And he would say, he was saying stuff like that. He says, "Well, I'm not going to buy her flowers because you know they die in 3 days, you know, and you know I don't like to do this." And then so Dr. Phil's perky wife, you know, she jumps in the mix there and she says, "Now, you know, it's really important. You know, women, you know, they like to, you know, to get these things." And then he asked his wife, said, "Now, is it so much the flowers or is it the thought?" And she says, "Well, what's the thought? Of course." So now my advice is, and I was telling my wife this the other night, I said, based on that premise, and that because the women always, it's the thought, Well, Jesus said, if you think it, you do it, right? It's basically the same thing. So I told my wife, I said, I had a thought. I thought I would get you a Rolls-Royce Silver Cloud for Valentine's Day. So since Jesus said that if you think about it, it's the same as doing it, I just want you to know that you have now a Rolls-Royce Silver Cloud. And this will work for any special occasion.
How'd that go over, Christmas. Mike? How'd that go over?
How's that working for you, Mike?
she cracked up. She thought it was hilarious. You know?
Well, then your wife understands the gospel, perhaps, and definitely has a sense of humor, so that's a good one.
Yeah, definitely does.
Well, the sweet lady I ever met once. No, see, if it's the thought that counts, then that's all you need, right? So you don't need the flowers. If the flowers aren't really it, it's the thought that's all you need.
I agree.
Anyway, that's all.
Good preaching, Roberts. I mean, Michael.
All right, buddy.
Thank you for your time and call in anytime, please.
Right,
and thank you very much for your donation tonight, too.
Oh, you're welcome, and God is good, and I can't wait to go back and hear that last part that Michael said. That was the best part of all night so far, that last few sentences right before you did your commercial. I can't wait to go back and hear that on the archives again. That was good.
It's awesome stuff.
Anyway,
thanks, Mike.
All right, love you guys.
All right, love you, too. Mike Matthey, ladies and gentlemen, from California, donating $125, pledging that a month, which gets us to $1,500 for the pledge drive tonight. Our goal is $4,166, and this gentleman's been waiting for a while. Actually, is it Plano, Texas, or Plano, Texas?
I'm in Plano.
Plano, that's
Plano.
Right. It's George Howell, actually, of Pittsburgh, PA. But what are you doing in Plano, Texas?
Talking to you.
George, what are you doing there?
How you doing, Glenn? I'm down here working.
There you go. Working for
a living.
You're
there too early. I'm going to be there like next month or something.
Yeah, I got it right here. As soon as Patrick said that George was in Plano.
Well, you know what, Mike? We got to keep contact because my company's going to be cycling me back down through here a few times. So
it's on the 22nd and 23rd of March. Michael's going to be in Plano with the Mark and Kathy Eaton. And their phone number is 972-248-5078. It's also on the GospelRevolution.com webpage. 972.
Hey, Glenn, can I call you in on another phone real quick? Because this phone is dying.
Yeah, please
call
do.
Call us back.
Okay.
That's
all right, I'll call you right back.
All right, George Howell, going to call us back, Patrick. But anyway, Mike, you're going to be with Mark and Kathy Eaton in Plano, ironically.
Yeah, they're really sweet people, and Mark Eaton is a Greek scholar, and I certainly want to use him as a resource a little bit more. My goodness, that guy can break down a Greek word better than anything I've ever seen in my life, and he has training in that area, and his in-depth study of the Greek language has led him to the conclusions of the power of this gospel and the redemption of the world. So.
That's beside your teaching well over a decade ago, and my going back to the original meanings in the Greek and the Hebrew is what led me into the promised land.
Absolutely.
We got George back with us.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
You sound loud and clear there in Plano, Texas, George. George had a conference call tonight. That did that go off, George?
Yeah, it did go off. Actually, we talked for about an hour, and we had a few glitches because it's a free service, but it went pretty well.
And he was gracious enough to schedule it so it would not conflict with the pledge drive, which we really appreciate, George. And what was the main topic of the conversation that you had with the folks? By the way, George has, by the way, two folks, the boldgrace.com webpage that you should check out. Many of Michael's and other good resources are on that webpage. But what were the Bold Grace folks talking about tonight?
Well, we started out, it was going to be grace and peace, but it ended up, it was Hebrews 6, 1 and 2, about leaving things behind.
Oh, awesome.
So, and of course, we, as good Christians, we plagiarize most of Mike's stuff. So,
well,
and as a penance for that, I've donated $100 tonight.
Thanks,
awesome.
George.
Thank you, George.
You're going to enjoy that Soul Possession CD, my friend.
Absolutely, absolutely. Hey, I just wanted to tell you guys, you know, I usually listen on the archives every week, and since I'm down here in a hotel and got nothing to do, you know, I figured I might as well waste it talking to you. No.
don't they have
Plano, Texas.
Don't they have pay-per-view movie channels or something, George, there?
No, you can get
not
that stuff
Plano,
free on the computer.
No.
Oh, not in Plano. Okay.
You can get that stuff free on the computer.
Okay, fair enough.
No, I'm just
no, you're not. You know, if you say you're just kidding, you're not.
I didn't say I was just kidding.
Well, we really appreciate that, George, and the passage that you mentioned in Hebrews is so poignant and pertinent, because the way that's always interpreted, Michael, leave those things behind that we would do as children. It's always, you know, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. That's what's taught, but that's not what Paul meant. We assume Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. What exactly did he mean by that?
Well, I want to ask George what their conclusions were. What was your discussion about it?
Our conclusion is that in order to move into perfection, those things we have to leave behind.
Yep.
You don't, from perfection, move into those things. You leave those things behind in order to move into perfection.
Yes.
Those things were all trying to perfect the spirit or the body. And you have to leave those behind in order to move.
What do you mean by that?
What do I mean by that? Well, I made a comment tonight on our call-in that, you know, a lot of people accuse us of saying, well, you just say people can do any damn thing they want. And my answer to that was, no, I don't say people can do anything they want. What I say is people can do any damn thing they want.
That's why I always love that, because, you know, then you could do anything you want. And I always, they say, you know, you could kill somebody. And I always say back to them, do you want to kill somebody? No. And I go, then don't kill anybody. Nobody ever.
Let me take cover here. If you
nobody ever does anything that they don't want to
you know,
do.
George has really brought up a really great point that Hebrews is talking about man's attempt to perfect the flesh. A flesh relationship with God, which God is spirit. You cannot have a perfected flesh relationship with God. And Hebrews 1 is so profound because it lays out all of the flesh attempts to perfect relationship with God, so you can abandon that and accept the perfection that you have in Jesus Christ. And the little list is the one of them, which is so profound. One of the things you must give up. One of the things that you must give up as an act of the flesh is faith toward God. It cannot be your faith toward God that establishes relationship with God.
That list is...
What did you say, George?
I said that's exciting.
It's very exciting, but
I thought about earlier tonight when Glenn said about Mother Teresa, you know, questioning her faith, and I thought that was the best day of my life when I quit believing.
Yeah,
she said,
and she bemoaned the fact that she hadn't questioned just her faith. She said she lost her faith.
Yep,
that was the best day
of your life.
That would have been the best thing if she would have hung out there for a while.
Absolutely. Yeah, because when you lose your own faith, you find the faith of Jesus Christ. And that is the profound message. And that is the profound message that we, you know, and we will keep campaigning. We will get the delegates to win this.
Yeah, we're not dropping out of the race.
We will not drop out, no matter what the odds are, because we majored in miracles, not in finances.
Nice.
You know, I was always taught, you know, when you get to the end of your faith, tie a knot and hang on. And I was like, no, we need to let go when you get.
To the end of your faith, and then because that's the best drop-off point you're ever going to have.
Oh, God.
And you know, everybody that has come into the understanding of the gospel that we share. Whether it's through me or someone else, but the gospel that we share.
Well, Mike, we're all just ripping you off anyway.
Well, that's fine. I enjoy this type of ripoff.
Rip away.
The number one thing I know personally, when I let go, I described my entire existence as a free fall.
Yeah.
And, man, the temptation I saw grabbing hold of anything as a temptation to not, and I refused to grab hold of anything. I refused. I could stop here and be accepted by this group. I could stop here and be accepted by that group. I could stop here and be accepted by these and that. And I would fit here if I believed this, and if I went that way, I went that way. And I just continued to free fall. And let me tell you something. I am still free falling today, and I've learned to enjoy it. Because in the free fall, you learn to live. You ever watch those guys who are just filled with delight? In that free fall when they jump out of that airplane. Let me tell you something. I have found the permanent free fall, and it is so profound. It is exhilarating. You're not going to hit the ground, and there is that fear that you're going to hit, that you're going to hit the bottom. And believe me, there's no bottom to hit. There's no end to the grace of God. You're not going to find that place. But let me tell you something, gentlemen, for sure, you're going to be offered every from every side a place to opt out. You're going to be offered by everything, everyone around you, a place to opt out of your free fall. And believe me, as frightening at first as it is, the free fall, to know that you've lost your faith, You've lost all of these requirements toward God. You know you're no longer deluding yourself to thinking that you're accomplishing anything in your relationship with God. I was thinking the other day, people ask, well, how's your relationship with God? Well, it's perfect.
It's absolutely perfect. It's freaking perfect. That's how it is.
It's perfect because it has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with that cross 2,000 years ago, that sacrifice, which the church says they believe, yet with every breath they deny.
Yes.
And we will continue to share this good news as loudly and profoundly as we can because, folks, it takes a lot to shake this loose from people's hearts and minds. And this bondage is so profound to see that little list in Hebrews. To leave behind these doctrines, and every one of them are doctrines, the doctrine of faith toward God. One of the doctrines that you must leave behind is the doctrine of eternal punishment. That's one of the doctrines
of Christ.
And what?
The doctrine of Christ.
Yes. The teachings of Christ. You must leave his doctrines behind.
That's what
Would Jesus Do movement came from. Believe me, you couldn't live in this society and do what Jesus would do. You can't. You absolutely cannot. Because Jesus didn't die so we could do what he did. Jesus died so we could be free and be ourselves. That is the power of this gospel. I'm feeling very passionate tonight about this incredible gospel. I mean, after Mike's conversation and then George calling in, my goodness, this is, folks, we're not going to quit. We welcome your gifts, but give or don't give, we ain't going to quit. And I live in Texas. I can say it that way now.
And what a thing to say during a pledge drive of any kind. I don't care if it's for a ministry or for public radio or whatever. We're saying give or don't give. Well, we're happy that not everybody is taking the don't give proposition. We want to thank Michael Kolb from Central Florida for a $15 a month donation.
Oh,
and pledge.
Michael, that's awesome. Thank you.
And Michael wanted, we got a question from Michael too, which we'll get to hopefully in this show, Michael. We got so many Michaels. But he also wanted us to mention his email address so that if there's anybody in Central Florida, where are you exactly, Michael Kolb? Let me know because I'm in West Central Florida.
Also, I'm going to be in Florida in 2 weeks. I'll be in Ocala and Hossford, Florida.
Well, oh, awesome. That's as central Florida as you can get.
Yeah.
Make sure, Michael, that you go on to boldgrace.com and get in contact with George Howe. He's going to be down there. And believe me, he'll meet up with you. This guy loves me.
Hey, Michael, I'll even give him a hearing test.
He will. He drives a hearing truck around.
Well,
I had my hearing tested, and I can tell everybody that my hearing is normal.
That's good.
Absolutely.
God, I hate that. I don't like being normal.
Well, Michael Kolb asked us to share with everybody his email address, so if there's anybody else in Central Florida that might like to get in touch with Michael, you can
do that. Where is he at? Do you know where he's at in Central Florida?
He did not say. Maybe he's listening right now, and he can let us know what city it's in. Anyway, his email address is Kolb, K-O-L-B, _Michael@yahoo.com. Kolb, K-O-L-B, _Michael@yahoo.com.
And Michael, we are not responsible for the contacts you get from this.
Hey, if he's around Ocala, I'll even take him to dinner. How's that?
That's awesome. So anyway, that's a $15 a month pledge. And
see, Michael's already getting a return on his dollar. He got a free meal out.
That must be a divine connection, huh?
I tell you what.
And so with George's donation and Michael Kolb's donation and Mike Massey's donation, we are at, what are we at? We're at $1,780 for this week. So that's fantastic. And we want to thank everybody for participating, and we do have a line open. We're talking with George Howe, who's in Plano, Texas, where Michael Williams will be towards the end of March. Go on the GospelRevolution.com webpage for that meeting, but he's on business right now. George is the host of BoldGrace.com, BoldGrace.com, and is also from Pittsburgh. Go ahead, George.
I was going to say this first.
Go ahead, Mike.
George, let me say this first. I think it's interesting that George is in Plano testing everybody's hearing before I get there.
Let he who has ears to hear.
There you go. Now we know who can hear and who can't by the time we get there.
Do you have that on the side of your truck, George?
No. Mike, I was listening to one of your old tapes that you recorded in Ocala, Florida.
Oh my goodness, yes. Yeah, that was one of those would have been Great High Priest, I'm sure.
You wouldn't happen to know anybody still there, would you?
Recorded there.
You wouldn't happen to know anybody still there, would you?
Bernie DeCastro.
Wait, if you have any contact info, could you?
He has a church there. I haven't been in contact with him for years, but Bernie DeCosta. DeCosta. And he has a church there in that area, and I've lost contact with him.
You know, I remember that meeting because I came up for that, and it was in a hotel basement, I remember, or a restaurant basement or something. But
That
was a long time ago.
Bank or something.
Yeah.
That Great High Priest series is one of the best.
It really is an amazing series. I allude to it often. The issue of Jesus being the Great High Priest and the understanding that comes along with that is just, it really should seal the deal. Nobody should ever have another question about exactly what was accomplished at the cross. And just recently I made reference to that, in fact, I went through some of those verses, I think, with our with the people down in Baytown, and also down in Corpus Christi, where I was recently, both. But the issue of perfection that Jesus, and this is where the Mormons think that you can work your way into perfection, because it said that he learned obedience through the things he suffered, and that he became perfect, But Hebrews teaches that when Jesus came here, he was the perfect Son of God, but there was something he was not perfect at, and only death could make him perfect at being one thing, and that is the Great High Priest. Because the other high priests were not he said that the Holy Spirit revealed to everybody in Hebrews. The writer says that the Holy Spirit revealed to everybody that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made perfect because the priest died. So it was obvious that until we got a priest that lived forever, there was no perfect priesthood. So Jesus, there was something that Jesus came to this planet that he wasn't perfect at. In fact, there was he did not carry out the role of a high priest while he was alive. Before his death, he made no claims to being a priest of any kind. And yet through death and defeating death, he became the great high priest. And, yeah, that series. See, there, all you got to do, George, is mention something and it gets me going. I can't take it sometimes.
Hey, George, Michael Kolb is in Daytona Beach, which is...
in Daytona.
Yeah, that's
okay.
East Central Florida.
Yeah, that's a little the other way.
Well, we've got other folks in Daytona, and we'll definitely get him hooked up there with somebody.
Well, George, thanks so much, brother, from another mother.
Hey, can I get a plug real quick?
Go for it.
Go ahead.
Okay. If you go to Talk Shoe, you remember the old Ed Sullivan really big shoe?
Okay, yeah, we're old enough to remember that, George.
Hey, yeah, you guys are. If you go to Talk Shoe, TalkShoe.com, and if you do a search for show number 14375, that would be the Bold Grace Show. 14375.
Excellent.
Okay. You can hear me and Mike. You'll be glad to hear this. Cliff was on there all night tonight with us.
Oh, wonderful.
And
Cliff Hazelbaker there from Indiana.
Yeah.
I'm so blessed. I know so many wonderful people.
You do, Michael.
I really do.
And you've met some.
Well, you know.
Go ahead.
You know, Cliff told me you were his favorite.
Oh, is that right?
you don't know the inside joke on that, do you?
No, I don't.
Okay. Well, everybody, Cliff.
Yeah, you do know it, Michael. You just don't remember it.
Everybody he meets is his favorite.
Oh, yes. Yep, I do.
Anyway, gentlemen, thank you very much. Mike, thank you for everything you're doing. And let me know where you're at in your travels, because you never know when we might cross paths.
Yeah, well,
that's right. Well, just jump on the website, and it'll always give you my schedule. Otherwise, I'm here in Houston.
All right, dude.
All right, George.
Just remember, it's finished.
It is
finished.
All
right, George. BoldGrace.com. We appreciate you.
There he is, George Howell from Pittsburgh, PA, in Plano, Texas, contributing $100 to the Winter Pledge Drive. We have about a half an hour left on round number two of the Gospel Revolution Winter Pledge Driver. Got two lines available now for you to call. Make a pledge, a donation, talk to Michael. 1-800-436-3260. That's the, I was going to say Glenn Klein, but I'm going to say the Gospel Revolution toll-free hotline. Doesn't rhyme like the Glenn Klein online toll-free hotline.
Not nearly as,
but,
as rhythmic.
Yes, but we're putting aside rhythm tonight for your donations. We need your help tonight. It's just as simple as that. This is how we pay the bills. And once a quarter, we take some time out. You've heard a ton of wonderful, rich gospel tonight, and that's what we do. We always share it, but then once a quarter, we ask for your help financially. 1-800-436-3260 for gifts of $100 or more. You will receive free and postage paid the Gospel Revolution new teaching CD by Michael called Soul Possession. That could be a good name for a song. I think you should sick Eddie and the praise and worship team there at Freedom Worship Center.
Yeah, and make a good country song.
Right,
too.
Write us. I've got soul possession of my soul. I just got back from Nashville, you know.
Oh my goodness.
I got soul possession of my soul.
Yeah, but you didn't get the talent that is in there.
There's no. Our studio audience is laughing at that one. There is no devil and no God that's going to possess my soul. I'll stop singing when you start calling. 1-800-436-3260. That
that's
is
a
the
threat if I ever heard
1-800-436-3260. We still got 30 minutes to take your calls. We're up to $1,780. Our goal this week is 4166. If you're listening to the archive, know that it, your email and your donation counts towards that goal. Our total goal for this pledge drive is $12,500 for paying the bills for the next 3 months, which makes it $4,166 a week that we need to raise during these 21 days. And if you're listening to the archive, it counts towards this week. So no matter what time of day or night, you can email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. Let us know what you did. We want to recognize Cindy Bean, who contributed $100 and got the Soul Possession CD in the middle of the week, which we really appreciate. Last week, Cindy Bean for $100. So just get on the gospelrevolution.com website, click on donations, do your thing, and let us know what you did at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. And if you're listening live and it's a little after 10 o'clock Eastern time, just get on the phone and let us hear from you tonight. 1-800-436-3260. 1-800-436-3260. Patrick L. Jones is waiting to take your call. Now, Michael Kolb had a question, Michael, with his donation. He said, Michael, you have mentioned the law is good in that it points out our fallen state. My heart is having trouble with this. What the law has done in my life is make me feel bad for what I am. When I was a child, I buried parts of who I am because I thought it would make God mad. Or my parents carry their learned fears into parenting. This has left me partially paralyzed in my life. Please go into more detail about how this law is a good thing. It seems misanthropic for me, and God not so good.
Yeah, and thank you for asking, because the law is no longer used for that capacity. The law was used for that capacity up until 2,000 years ago. That's why the reason that the conflict is in your soul is because the law is being used against a heart that is absolutely perfect in the eyes of God. You see, the law before was used pertaining to those that were under the law. And that, you know, I've studied into church history and religious history and the evangelical history. And I know that many of the old timers believed that you need to come into town and preach everybody under law and tell them how hopeless they are and then spring grace on them if they believe. And that, I'm sorry, the gospel is not preach the law first, get them under law first, get them beat down, and then bring them into grace, because the law is no longer in existence. So any time that I make application to what the law was designed to do, please understand it was designed to do that. You should never have been put under the law. No human being should ever be under the law at all. It should never happen. Number one, because you would never be put under the law enough to bring you to the right conclusion, which was the cross. The law was the cross was the conclusion for the law. You don't come to these conclusions. The law does not benefit anybody at all anymore. I am just so grateful that you asked the question, because we just cannot go there at all. We cannot allow people to think that the law is still that thing that we beat over people until we can let them know how condemned they are so we can reveal grace. There's only one thing that needs to be shared in this planet, and that is the gospel. The gospel is not the law. And Paul said the gospel, he said, I'm not ashamed to say what I just said, because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, and that salvation by the same writer is for the salvation of the soul. The gospel is the power of God to save the soul from the law, from legalism, from the bondage that legalism brings.
Right, and also the understanding of the teaching of Jesus was that the law was setting the stage for him. that it wasn't a blueprint for living. Far from it. It was to bring Israel and then everybody else to the point of knowing that they could, had absolutely no chance of achieving righteousness through following any law, any of the 613 laws or any other law that the church has got more laws from the New Testament than there are in the Old Testament. But that it would set the stage in a foreshadowing for Christ. And here's the great news, Michael Kolb, is that Jesus succeeded in fulfilling the law. You're not under it anymore. The only time that we feel guilt, Michael, or condemnation is because we're not thinking right about it. We've talked many times on this program, and you've heard Michael share on his teaching. For those of you who are familiar with Mike's recorded teachings, we don't experience guilt anymore. We experience other emotions, other human emotions, but we never experience guilt towards God ever.
Which makes all the other emotions negotiable. You can negotiate through them now that you don't feel guilt. Guilt is the great destabilizer of when you're free from guilt, it doesn't mean you're not going to have the full range of emotions. But you can negotiate them, Glenn.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you're not going to have a day where you just say, my God, what has happened to this place? I just wish I wasn't on the planet. It doesn't mean that those days aren't going to happen, but you can negotiate those emotions.
They are
not the end all. They're not the thing that, what is God doing?
Right. Well,
why is this happening to me?
Hopefully you get to that point. Maybe a better way to articulate that, because negotiation sometimes has a negative connotation to some folks, but you could, I think, even more accurately say, Michael, it's easier to navigate through those emotions. There's no negotiating. You know, you hear negotiation where you're negotiating with yourself, you're justifying, you're rationalizing. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about navigating or getting through those issues.
Absolutely.
Because you know that God is not ticked off at you, and he's not punishing you, and he's not trying to teach you a lesson through your suffering. You may learn lessons through your suffering. Hopefully you do, because if you don't learn lessons from suffering, they're a complete waste of time, whether it be your own suffering or somebody else's. But it doesn't change the opinion of God. It's not God's will. I think Mike Matthew was talking about earlier, Mike, the will of God. The will of God isn't what happens to you. The will of God is what happened to Jesus. That's what the Bible says is the will of God.
Jesus.
Yeah. The will of God is Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says, folks. It's not whether you should, when you're driving down a main thoroughfare, do I turn left, do I turn right? What's the will of God? What color T-shirt should I wear today? Should I wear underwear, should I not? What's the will of God? That's not what the will of God is. The will of God is the finished work of the cross of Jesus.
Absolutely.
The Messiah. This is good preaching, Roberts.
Yes, and the fulfillment of Scripture isn't about a place. It's not about a city. It's not about a country. It's not about a place. It's not about a time. It's about Jesus. Jesus is the time. Jesus is the place.
Jesus is
the city.
Jesus
is the country.
Jesus is
the person.
Jesus is
the sacrifice.
He's
Jesus
everything.
Jesus is the ceremony. He is all and in all. And that's why that we stick close to the life, death, burial, and resurrection being the all in all. And stepping outside of that is to step into a maze of subjectivity. I don't want to be subjective about what God did. What I do and what I believe is all subjective. But why, when we have the work of the cross, should we make what God did subjective? It is not subjective to anybody's opinion or anybody's belief. What God did through Christ is not subjective. It is absolutely the view and the opinion of God. And thank God, everything we do is subjective. Our views are subjective. But God's view is not subjective. It is truth. And that's where we hang our hat.
Right, and that's so important, Michael, because in referencing Michael Kolb's letter, that's where you've got to hang your hat, Michael Kolb. You've got to hang your hat on the surety of what Jesus did, not on what you may do or may not do or may think or may not think. It doesn't bum got out one iota about you because you made a mistake. And, you know, it's too bad that mothers and fathers and well-meaning pastors and religious leaders put this kind of guilt on people, Michael. But the surety is not in anything short of the blood of Christ. Anything else is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It causes separation from God. And
it's a private interpretation of Scripture.
Right. Right. It's not,
you know, and there just is no such thing as a private interpretation of Scripture. But, you know, and Michael, thank you so much, because, see, these are the points that my heart embraced long ago. And I have to deal with such minutiae of decoding where people's belief systems are, that many times I don't get to address such a fantastic question as what Michael has addressed here. Because I do not believe that, Michael, your heart should never have been under the law. I agree with you 100%. It should never have happened to you, dear brother. It should never happen to anybody on the face of planet Earth. The law has no use since the cross.
Except as instruction, but not instruction about living, instruction of what we were saved from, and as a foreshadowing of Jesus' work on the cross.
Well, better than an instruction, it's a revelation. Mm-hmm. It's a revelation of where we were. It's a revelation of what we've come from and into the profound righteousness of God, totally separate from the law. My God, if I have breath to breathe, I will always share this message. That's the reason, you know, we appreciate your gifts. My goodness, folks, you have made my life so much more pleasant and capable of reaching out to other people through your giving. I'm not homeless anymore because of the last year's effort that has been made by you folks. I was homeless. Do you understand what I'm talking about? I was living in somebody else's bedroom for a place to stay, and without that, I would have been out on the streets. There was nothing that I could do to help myself. There was even if people would have wanted me to come, I was hardly in a position to even organize myself to get out there. But that's what your giving has done.
And it was, and just so people who don't know the story, it wasn't just because there was no money. It was also because of some very, very serious challenges that Michael was facing in his family that I know, Michael, the gospel helped you navigate or negotiate through.
Oh, my God,
Without question.
Yeah, I mean, it was profoundly drastic family situations. I know what that feels like, but the one thing that I'm very glad to be able to share, that even in the midst of absolute devastation of family, there is stability of heart and mind. I cannot even imagine having gone through and faced down what I did in my family without the gospel and having been still under the old doctrine.
Right, because it never entered, because we talked a lot during those days. And
absolutely.
It never entered your mind that God, that you were somehow out of God's will, or that the people in your family that were involved in this were out of God's will, or that they were, even those that had wronged,
even the person that perpetrated the crime
was not
wrong, crying against my family. And I sat and looked them right in the face and told them, let me first tell you, after I realized that this crime had taken place in my family, I looked them right in the face and said, the first thing I want you to know is that you have no problem with God. He sees you as righteous, holy, and perfect, and does not hold this against you. That was my first statement. And from there, I was able to navigate and negotiate my way through this heart, soul, and mind within myself and come out on the other end with peace. And of all the things that I know about the power of this gospel, we don't want to just preach a gospel to you that lets you know that you're not, when life's over, you're not going to go to hell. Thank God, because that is the crux of where all these other doctrines hang like maggots and bats from a cave. They just hang from that dread of punishment in the future. And you're standing there under the feces and the urine of all of this terrible doctrine that perpetually hangs over from the doctrine that you face a potential judgment. Again, the judgment of God was poured out on Jesus, and I defy anybody who would question the fact that all judgment was not passed on the cross of Jesus Christ, because that is doing despite to the Spirit of grace. But from that horrible doctrine of punishment, denying the cross, and denying the very Christ who has redeemed us, from that doctrine hangs all of these putrid things that invade people's lives and leave you doubting your own existence, doubting your own heart. This is what it comes down to, Glenn. You doubt your own heart.
Right. You doubt every aspect of the human being that you are, and so you put on a fake Christian mask, and what we need from you is to be yourself. And what we produce in the church are cookie-cutter Christians that are all supposed to look the same, sound the same, go to the same places, and stay away from the certain kinds of people. And that was great imagery, Michael. That's exactly
it's
what
called
it is.
Fake.
It's urine. It's putrid. It's feces. Paul called it dung, is how Paul
Absolutely.
Put it. All right. Well, listen, we only got 10 minutes left. We got to stay on track here a little bit, but because we could talk about this all night. But and I do want to get to this letter. But I wanted you to know that Michael's heart of gratitude. The reason that things are moving forward is because you're participating and you're responding to our request. We didn't know what else to do when this whole process started, and we realized that as we did the webcast for months. And we'd make a mention of, you know, if you want to give something, do that. Nothing came in. A grand total of nothing came in.
Yeah.
And so we're asking you tonight to participate. We still got 10 minutes left. If you're listening on the archive, just email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. For $100 or more, you will receive free and postage pay the brand new teaching CD by Michael, Soul Possession. We're looking for $12,500 over the next 21 days to pay the bills and to meet our operating budget for the next 3 months of the Gospel Revolution. And if you're still listening live on Wednesday night, you can still call in at 1-800-436-3260 and let us know what you'll do. Just go to the GospelRevolution.com webpage, click on donations, and then go through the process, and please email us and let us know what you did at webcast@GospelRevolution.com. We're at $1,780 raised tonight, towards a goal of $4,166. So we've got a long way to go. You folks that are listening on the archive can more than make up for that. We were still about $3,000 short for last week. So whatever you can do is greatly appreciated, as I think you heard Michael's heart. But this is a really good email to talk about, and I told this gentleman, Dennis, that via email communication today that we would address it. And I really want to hear your response to this, Michael. He says, I fully understand how many endeavors require lots of money. You guys need money. I wish you the best, but I am not giving you anything more, including my attention or time. It is not all about you and your need for money. You blather about getting the message out, the cost, the money, etc. It's driven me away. It is tiresome. It is boring. It is boring, he says. If you cannot meet your bills, then do what everybody else does. Cut back. God does not run fund drives, and neither should his ministers. Hope this message gets through all their self-righteous recriminations, guilt trippers, and finger pointers. Here is something to get your head around. We, the audience, do not owe you. We do not owe you. You owe us. You owe us because we have taken time out of our lives to listen to you. We are spending part of our life force, lifespan, lifetime to pay attention to you. You owe the people who listen to you. You should be providing value, not all your whining about your money issues. Excuse me. Think of all the thousands of man hours, lifetimes being spent giving attention to your speaking. You have a duty not to waste those lives. For a season, you did that. Are you determined to fulfill the scriptures concerning the dog and his vomit? It might be useful to acknowledge that God controls all things. Acknowledge God in all your ways. Curious how people struggle with that. Thank you for being part of the journey you provided for me unknowingly. Goodbye. See you in heaven. That's from Dennis. Now, you would think, folks, that we wouldn't read something like this on a pledge drive. But nonetheless, I think, you know, these are points that Dennis is making. And I told him, I replied to him by email, that we would address this. And so we're going to. But then I got another email from my reply from Dennis. And he says, thank you for your reply. So speedy. He says, I love you, folks, despite my criticism. I will gladly give you the benefit of the doubt. Though I must wait for the broadcast to be posted in the archives due to my slow dial-up connection, which we understand a lot of people have because most of you folks are listening on the archive. He said, I will be listening via the archives. He says, revelation of faith to you, Dennis. So we had a pretty strong letter there from Dennis, and I responded to it, and he's going to give us one more listen. So, all right, so that was some pretty strong criticism, Michael, that we owe the listeners. They don't owe us. And that because they are giving of their time to listen, and he says here, I think, you know, a very, very strong rebuke, if you will, that he thinks that we might be going down the road of the parable of the dog and his vomit. And I appreciated the fact that he finished his letter with "See you in heaven," so that, you know, that's we agree on that with Dennis for sure. But, Michael, are we going down the road of the dog returning to his vomit?
Well, number one, the thing that I'm so grateful for is that Dennis had the freedom to say what he thought. And it is from what we're saying. And it is because people are supporting us that Dennis has been able to hear what he heard that gave him the ability to say what he said, the freedom to do it. He says that he's heard this from me, and he's listened to this, and we're glad, Dennis, we're grateful that you have the wherewithal to express what you think. But number one, you're terribly misguided in thinking that I have a duty to you or anybody else. I do what I do from my heart, dear brother, not out of duty, not out of obligation, and that's the reason that you're totally missing our reasoning behind opening up for other people to join us. We invite you, dear brother, not to give. I'm asking you, please do not give because it's not in your heart to do. And what we want you to do is exactly what your heart said to do. If your heart has said, don't listen to us anymore, adios, goodbye, see you in heaven, then we encourage you to do just exactly that. But do not put other people in bondage to your words by saying that I have a duty, that you feel like that the duty isn't on you, it's on me. It's not on me, it's not on you, either one. You missed the whole point. That we don't do this out of duty. We do this because it's in our heart to do. And our appeal on financial basis is simply to appeal to those whose hearts are to do the same thing we're doing. And we also want those who vehemently disagree with us to say so. Now, you've said it, and we accept that. And we will, I guess the only thing that I can say to you, dear one, is I agree with you. We will see you in heaven.
Well, and on that note, we'll see everybody in heaven, which is
absolutely.
I hope that helps, Dennis. And but I hope you will continue to log on from time to time, at least, and check it out. You know, Michael, there's nothing to cut back on. I mean, you've just started being able to live, for God's sake.
Absolutely. Sakes.
And we started with this. By the way, it's not just like the webcast, because that's been going on for about a year and a half. Michael's been doing this for the better part of 15 years and gave everything, gave more than everything, went bankrupt, went broke, if you will. He gave everything he had financially. And as he said earlier on in the webcast, would many times just would forget to ask. But you know what? We it's in our heart. We have the freedom in our heart to ask, and we are asking for you to participate.
Dennis has the freedom to say, no, I don't want to do that. But the thing that he doesn't have the freedom to do is to impede somebody else's motives. That you just, now he can do it, but not in the gospel context. You can't question the motives of my heart.
Right, and Dennis has the freedom not to give. We have the freedom to ask. The one thing that we don't believe that we have the freedom to do is to say that what God wants you to do, or that God's going to especially bless you, or that you won't be blessed. Dennis might be the most blessed man on the face of the earth, and we wish nothing but the best for him and for everybody. But if it's in your heart, if you get into the mindset where you'd like to get back into the flow, as Mike Matthew was talking about, and not respond out of self-preservation, as we spoke about earlier, but you want to respond out of, you know what, I understand this. This is where I understood it from. I support this. I really, you know, I'll forego a dinner once a week or whatever. If that's in your heart, please do it. You'll feel real good about it. God's not going to feel any differently about you, but we will appreciate it, and I think that you'll appreciate being part of the effort. So just go to the gospelrevolution.com website. Please click on donations if this is in your heart, and let us know what you can do. Email us this week at webcast@gospelrevolution.com and let us know what you did towards our goal of $4,166 this week in the 3 weeks of the Winter Pledge Drive as we go for $12,500. That meets the operating expenses of being able to do the show, being able to have an office, and all kinds of stuff like that. There's like electricity and things that for some reason the electric company wants to be paid. I don't understand. But we know this. We tried it for not just at the beginning of the webcast. We tried it for over a decade of not asking and not making it a focus sometimes. But for you folks that have listened to this entire webcast tonight, you know what our heart is. I mean, the thing that we got most excited about tonight was not the asking for money or the receiving of funds. It was when we were sharing the gospel. That's what we want to do. Of course we would like not to ever have to ask. But how it is right now, it's in our heart to ask. We have a need. We're asking if you want to participate. We've let you know how to do that. And for gifts of $100 or more, as we've said throughout the evening, you'll receive free and postage paid Michael's new teaching, Soul Possession. Well, Mikey, thank you as always for sharing your heart and your life. And I am headed to the northern climes of Wisconsin on Friday. And
we'll be talking to you from there on Wednesday.
Yeah, I'll have my long johns on and talking to you from the cabin in the North Woods. Going to do some life coaching up there at Birchwood Best. And we'll be getting there on Friday. And by Wednesday, I'll be ready to get my heart warmed at the very least with the gospel in our last night of the Winter Pledge Drive. But hopefully folks will participate between now and then as you've listened to the archive. Want to thank our callers tonight and our donors, Cindy Bean, Linda Bork, Mike Massey calling. We had a great conversation with him from California. George Howell and Michael Cole from Daytona Beach. I want to thank Sean O'Halloran and Patrick L. Jones for helping out with the broadcast. And as always, thank you for listening and for participating. It's a revolution. It's a gospel revolution. We're in this cleaning process, Michael. We're cleaning all this feces, and it's actually it's already been cleaned. We're just pointing out to people that the feces have been cleaned. The urine's
That's right.
been cleaned.
Don't let anybody dump on you.
The bat droppings have been taken care of. You're already clean. It's a beautiful thing. All right, my brother.
All right. Love you.
Love you. We'll talk to you 1 week's time. We hope to hear from you this week. This is Glenn Klein Online saying, Shalom, everybody.